calling all detectives. A blind alley, a silver coin, and the fourth dimension. Those are the exhibits on this page from my casebook. The casebook of Jerry Browning, private detective. I, Jerry Browning, private detective, don't claim I can solve any crime. All I claim is that there is a solution. Sitting alongside of me in my car, Eddie Integrity kept twisting around to watch the traffic behind us. Take it easy, Eddie. Nobody's following us. I made sure of that. Eddie nodded without conviction.
Okay. Stop the car here.
We were in a warehouse district of narrow streets and nameless alleys about a quarter of a mile from the riverfront.
Frankie Eastman's holed up in that loft building down at the end of the alley over there. He's got two bullets in him. But you better be careful. Hey, give me my money now.
Eddie Integrity didn't get his name by selling false information, so I took the envelope of money from my pocket, handed it to him.
Thanks, Jerry.
He glanced toward the dark, uninviting alley.
I'll walk with you. Wait and make sure you take him, Jerry.
I grinned. Eddie wasn't being brave, just making sure he wouldn't have to face Frankie Eastman, the bank robber, around some corner and alone. The three-story loft building at the end of the alley was dark, boarded up at every window. A somber hulk barely outlined by the light of a street lamp at the entrance of the alley. We walked up to the building doorway, a big, rusty iron door. I tried it carefully. It was locked. Eddie was a few paces behind me.
Jerry, look.
I stepped back. Followed Eddie's gaze to some bright object in the street. I bent down, saw that the object was a silver dollar. Picked it up, glanced around, and suddenly didn't see Eddie. In the perhaps 3 seconds it took me to pick up a coin from the street, Eddie Integrity had vanished utterly. In the time it took me to pick up a coin from the street, a man standing alongside of me vanished.
Break the door down!
The ancient iron door collapsed under the battering ram blows, and we all jumped aside, waiting for the gunfire we expected. And that didn't follow.
Throw a searchlight on here!
Light blazed through the doorway, revealed nothing beyond.
Frankie Eastman, we know you're in there. Come on out and we'll open fire.
No, don't do that. Eddie Integrity must be in there, too. There's no place else he can be. Don't shoot. I'm going in. I went in slowly, held my flashlight away from my body, expecting to have it shot out of my hand. I needn't have worried, because I finally found Frankie Eastman on the second floor, huddled in a corner beneath one of the boarded-up windows. He was dead. At the police lab, Dr. Morton looked at me queerly.
This man Eastman has been dead from 12 to 24 hours.
A uniformed cop touched my elbow.
Mr. Browning, you're wanted in Captain Monahan's office right now.
I grinned. So that's how it is. Okay, let's go. Monahan and a detective were in his office when I walked in.
Sit over there, Browning.
I took the chair indicated. Gonna grill me, Monahan? The big captain flushed.
This ain't my idea, Jerry, but the district attorney is burning. That story you told about Eddie Integrity disappearing. The DA doesn't like it.
That's what happened, Monahan.
You're talking yourself into trouble, Jerry. Whatever happened to Eddie, we know Eastman didn't do it. He was dead long ago. The DA thinks you knew that.
I knew it. The captain looked unhappy.
Yeah. You went into the building alone. The DA says you wouldn't have done that unless you were sure Eastman was dead. The DA thinks you got money to give Eddie for telling you where Eastman was. Only you knew Eastman was dead, so you kept the money. The DA thinks I killed Eddie Integrity?
Monahan wouldn't look at me.
Well, he didn't put it exactly that way, but...
Monahan suddenly got up.
Jerry, you're a square guy. If you say so, Eddie disappeared, maybe into the fourth dimension. Go on home, go to sleep.
I went out, but not home. I was in a bad spot. Changing my story about what happened to Eddie wouldn't do any good. Sooner or later, somebody would want to know where he was. There was only one thing I could do. It was almost 3 a.m. when I got back to the loft building at the end of the alley. 2 cops were on guard.
Hello, Jerry. What's new?
The fourth dimension, and I aim to find it. Hours later, I was still looking. The alley had absolutely no hidden exit. Its 2 sides were formed by tall, windowless warehouses with the 3-story loft building closing off the far end. No other doors of any kind opened on the alley, and there were no manholes or sewer traps in the street. It was almost dawn. And with the first light, a thin rain began to fall. I looked up at the graying sky and never felt more earthbound than in that tight, miserable alley. The fourth dimension. Earthbound. Hey, Michelson, did anybody look up on the roof? The cops exchanged glances.
On the roof? No, Jerry, what for?
For a bird, or a man who flew like a bird. There was nobody on the flat roof, and nothing to be seen, except a few thin strands of manila hemp caught on the jagged iron ledge that surrounded the roof. Just a few strands of cord, but I now knew what had happened to Eddie Integrity. He'd gone the one way earthbound people never think of, straight up. That should have finished the case. Actually, it was only the beginning. There was still Eddie Integrity's body to be found, and the person or persons who'd chosen that peculiar way of killing him. The body was found 3 days later, washed up on the opposite bank of the river. Eddie had been stabbed several times. If you didn't look for the thin red mark of the cord around his neck, you might have overlooked it altogether. I looked for the mark and made sure that the medical examiner saw it, too. I had nothing to do with finding the body or finding the killers, either. They were 2 members of the dead bank robber's gang, and they were taken in the course of another holdup a week later. Under questioning with a lie detector, they admitted having strangled Eddie Integrity by dropping a noose over his head and hauling him up to the rooftop of the loft building, then lowering themselves and the body on the opposite side for a complete getaway. Why did they do it? Not as a fancy way of executing a stool pigeon, but as a way of killing me and putting the blame on Eddie. They knew Frankie Eastman was dead. They let the news leak to Eddie, who would certainly sell it to me, bring me to the spot. Everything went off according to schedule, except that I saw a coin in the street, bent down, and in that moment the noose fell over Eddie's head instead of mine. Like I said, when a case looks impossible, as though it makes no sense whatever, there still has to be an answer, even if it's in the fourth dimension.